Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth.
Know that the Lord is God. It is He who made us, and we are His. Enter His gates with thanksgiving, and His courts with praise. Give thanks to Him and praise His name.
Thank you. Our God, who is faithful yesterday, today, and forever, greets us with these words: Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Good evening and welcome to LaGrave Avenue Christian Reformed Church for our graduate recognition service. You will find in your bulletin an insert with our graduates for this year from eighth grade all the way to furthering degrees. Tonight we focus especially on our seniors, our graduating class of 2024. I'm so excited for you all to be here, and I'm excited too for our crew leaders to be able to participate in this service, and toward the end of the service, we'll be inviting our seniors up as well so you can get to know them and see them before we all gather after this service. We'll gather together after this service for a meal, so you all are invited to join us in our multi-purpose room, which is down the hallway and to the right, for a time of fellowship over food, specifically Jimmy John's, and our seniors' favorite desserts will be out as well. It'll be during that time that I invite you to greet our seniors and say congratulations to them. We're going to open our time together with a reading from Isaiah.
Real. Fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have summoned you by name. You are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. When you pass through the rivers, they will not sweep over you. When you walk through fire, you will not be burned. The flames will not set you ablaze. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. I give Egypt for your ransom, Cush and Seba for your stead.
From the beginning, through all crises of our times, until the kingdom fully comes, God keeps covenant forever. God is King. Christ is victor. The Spirit is at work. Even now, as history unfolds in ways we know only in part.
We are assured that God is with us in our world, holding all things in tender grace, and bending them to his purpose.
The confidence that the Lord is faithful gives meaning to our days and hope to our years.
The future is secure, for our world belongs to God.
Let us pray. Father, we come to you with countless reasons to give you thanks and praise. Lord, you are so faithful. You are so merciful. You are so steadfast, reliable, trustworthy, ever true, and your loving kindness never ceases. Today we thank you for what you have done in the lives of each of these graduates. We want to thank you for those who have supported these graduates along their journeys also. We praise the Lord for the blessing of family and friends. We thank you for their encouragement, the sacrifices that they have made for all of these graduates. We thank you for the many events planned, activities attended, and hours spent driving their kids to places they needed to go. We pray that the Lord will help sustain these family connections and these friendships, even when they're separated. We pray that these ties will remain strong. Lord, thank you for the teachers, Sunday school teachers, GEMS, scouts, crew leaders, who gave their time, their hearts, to teaching and mentoring these graduates. Thank you for giving them a spirit of grace, understanding, and compassion. Lord, we praise you for the spiritual and life lessons these graduates have learned in their homes, their schools, and through church, such as mission trips, sporting events, church activities, vacations, choir tours, etc. Lord, We pray that these graduates will always remember that you are the giver of all good things. Father, today we are thankful for the way you created each of these graduates, and we praise you for their talents, aptitudes, their minds, that you have given each and every one of them talents and gifts. We pray that each one will use these gifts to be a light in this present world. May they use their talents to serve you, and may they be your hands and feet in this world. As they become independent, we pray that these graduates will discipline themselves in good and godly habits. We pray that they will meet new friends who share their faith and commitment to Christ, friends who will encourage and support them in their spiritual walk, friends who will lift them up. We pray for their safety. Many of our graduates will be responsible for the food they consume, the amount of sleep that they get, the activities in which they participate. We pray that they make smart choices. Help them stay healthy and safe. We pray for their finances. Many of these graduates will now be responsible for credit cards, student loans, entertainment, and personal expenses. We pray that you will provide for their needs and that they will spend the resources they've been given wisely. While we celebrate their many accomplishments, we realize that moving on from their current environment and taking steps in their lives brings uncertainty and even anxiety. We pray that each of these graduates will claim the promise of Psalm 46, that you are our refuge and strength, a very present help in these challenging times. Give each of these graduates the courage to step into the unfamiliar, knowing that you are with them each step of the way. We acknowledge that over the next decade, many of these graduates will make lifelong decisions and choices. We pray that they will seek to know and do your will and to follow Christ fully. We pray for wisdom and guidance. We pray these graduates will identify and establish sustainable connections with a local church and other Christian communities. Go before them and prepare places where they can get involved and serve Christ. We pray for your protection as they face temptations. We pray our graduates will be witnesses for Christ in both word and deed. May they be an example in faith, purity, and devotion to God. These graduates will no doubt have opportunities to be leaders and missionaries on campuses and in their workplaces. We pray that they are bold, confident, and eager to share their faith wherever they go. Lord, we know that it'll take time to know your will and the plans that you have for each of these graduates. We pray that they will be patient to wait and see what you have in store for them. Help them to know that when things fall through, that you have something better planned ahead. We pray that these graduates will never forget their salvation and may continue to grow in grace and faith. We pray that they will place their hope and trust in you alone, Lord, that they will not depend solely upon their own understandings, gifts, and talents. In the name of your precious Son, in whom our faith is anchored, we pray. Amen.
Exodus 3, verses 11 through 14. But Moses said to God, "Who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the Israelites out of Egypt?" And God said, "I will be with you, and this will be the sign to you that it is I who have sent you. When you have brought the people out of Egypt, you will worship God on this mountain." Moses said to God, "Suppose I go to the Israelites and say to them, 'The God of your fathers has sent me to you,' and they ask me, 'What is his name?' Then what shall I tell them?" God said to Moses, "I am who I am. This is what you are to say to the Israelites: 'I am has sent me to you.'" This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Good evening. For those of you who are visiting, my name is Rachel Thorne, and I'm the Minister of Youth here at LaGrave. It's an honor to be able to share the message tonight, and I hope it resonates deeply with our seniors who are sitting at the end of one chapter and getting ready for the start of a new chapter. I also hope it resonates with you, congregation. Maybe some of you are also sitting at the end of one chapter and preparing for a new one, or you've been in that position before and can relate to what our seniors are experiencing now. I want us to start by imagining a game of hide and seek. Most of you have probably played before, maybe at a friend's house, on the playground, and maybe even here at church. In a game of hide and seek, there's the seeker. They close their eyes and they count to a predetermined number, often 10 or 20. And while they're doing that, all the hiders go out and look for the best hiding spot. Often that's behind a couch, in a closet, under a table, or maybe even under a blanket. And once that seeker is done counting, they open their eyes and they yell out to all the hiders, "Ready or not, here I come." It's an announcement that the seeker is on their way. And the hiders then have to ask themselves, "Am I ready or not?" For some of the hiders, they might answer that question, "I sure am. I'm ready. I am tucked in this corner with a blanket over my head, and nobody is going to find me here. I'm safe, secure, comfortable, and I'm ready." For other hiders, their answer is, "I'm not ready." They are standing in the middle of the room, fully exposed, and they're going to get found first. They're starting to feel nervous or anxious, worried that they're not going to find their spot. They're not ready. This question, "Am I ready or not?" is a natural question to ask when we're at the start of a new chapter of our lives. Am I ready to move to that new college or university? Am I ready to start that new job? Am I ready to go out into the world and move out of my parents' house? Whatever the next chapter is, that question, "Am I ready or not?" is a natural one to be asking. And in our passage today, we encounter Moses as he's at a moment where one chapter of his life ends and another is beginning. Moses woke up that morning as another shepherd in the land of Midian. He woke up, checked on his sheep, he grabbed them, and off they went to find some places to graze. And as he's out trying to find them some food, he comes across this bush that is burning, yet not burning. I kind of picture it like if you saw a campfire and the logs just stayed looking the same. They never changed or burned down. This bush is enveloped in flame, but it just stays that way. And so, like any curious person for something like that, Moses goes up to it, do-do-do-do-do, just another day. And when he gets there, he hears the voice of God saying to him, "Hello, you have been chosen to go be the leader of the Israelites and to get them out of slavery in Egypt." Moses is now at a moment of change in his life. He's not being called to just shepherd sheep anymore. He's now being called to shepherd the people of Israel. And it's in this moment I want to spend some time today. When Moses is confronted with this life change, he has to ask himself, "Am I ready or not?" And he actually responds with "not ready." He has five excuses that he tries to give to God in their conversation at the burning bush. But it's not his excuses that I want us to focus on. Instead, I want us to focus on the way that God responds. God responds to Moses with three things that God is going to provide to Moses at this moment of change. And it's these three things that God provides to Moses that he also provides to us as well. The first thing that God provides is the assurance of his presence. In verse 11, we read Moses' first excuse. But Moses said to God, "Who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the Israelites out of Egypt?" "Who am I?" Moses says. "I am not ready." And rather than ridiculing Moses, God responds with a simple sentence. He says, "I will be with you." "I will be with you," says God. God doesn't send Moses into this new chapter of life alone. Instead, God goes with him, leading him, guiding him, and sustaining him. And the same is true for our seniors. The same is true for all of us. When we enter new stages of life, God goes with us, leading us, guiding us, and sustaining us in the new things that he has called us to. The second thing God gives Moses is a blessing, which empowers Moses to be a blessing to others. Moses' second excuse comes in verse 13. "If I come to the Israelites," says Moses, "and say to them, 'The God of your ancestors has sent me to you,' and they ask me, 'What is his name?' What shall I say to them?" Moses doesn't really believe that the Israelites are going to trust him, which honestly, he has every reason to be afraid of that. Moses hasn't seen the Israelites in many years. Earlier in Exodus, we hear the story of how Moses ends up fleeing Egypt, and that's what ends up bringing him to the land of Midian. So he hasn't seen the people in a while, and so now he has to go in there and have them uproot and follow him? Well, that would be like if you were at your family Christmas party that's always at your grandma's house, and your estranged cousin that you haven't seen in 30 years walks in the door and says, "Hi, let's all take this Christmas party to my house." None of you are going to uproot your traditions for this person you haven't seen in 30 years. You're going to stay right where you are. And so that's what Moses was afraid that the Israelites would do to him. They'd say, "No, who are you? We don't know." And so instead of leaving Moses to try and fend for himself, God blesses him with his name. He says to Moses, "I am who I am. Thus you shall say to the Israelites, 'I am has sent me to you.'" God's name is the blessing that Moses receives. And we know that Moses takes that name and that blessing and ends up leading the Israelites out of Egypt. Moses becomes a blessing to them because of the blessing he received from God. And once again, the same is true for us. God has blessed us with unique gifts and abilities and talents that have been a part of your life now and that you'll take with you into that next chapter in order to be a blessing to the people that you meet along the way. And so as the conversation continues, Moses makes another excuse, which God responds to. And the last one I want us to focus on is his fourth excuse, which comes in Exodus 4:10. It's here that we find God's last piece of provision for Moses, and that is that God provides support for Moses. Moses' last excuse goes something like this: "Oh, my Lord, I have never been eloquent, neither in the past nor even now that you have spoken to your servant. But I am slow of speech and slow of tongue." And later he says, "Oh, my Lord, please send someone else." He is really trying here to prove that he is not ready. He is trying to show now that he is not ready and not qualified. And so God responds again by providing Moses with support. God says, "What of your brother Aaron the Levite? I know that he can speak fluently. Even now he is coming out to meet you. And when he sees you, his heart will be glad." This gift of a companion, of support, is not something that simply makes Moses feel better. It's a gift that feeds his soul. In one of our small groups this past year at Crew, we talked about loneliness and about friendship and about people in our life that help us feel less alone. We talked about how in the book Blue Like Jazz by Donald Miller, that Donald Miller writes about his friend Tony. And Miller writes, "Tony, the beat poet, says the words alone, lonely, and loneliness are three of the most powerful words in the English language. I agree with Tony. Those words say that we are human. They are like the words hunger and thirst. But they're not words about the body. They're words about the soul." By providing Moses with support through his brother Aaron, God isn't just giving Moses a person to go with him. He's giving someone that will help sustain his soul as he journeys to go and help the Israelites get out of slavery and out of Egypt. Having people in our lives fills our souls, gives us joy, and gives us courage to do hard things. I'm sure our seniors can name people from their lives so far that have been a soul filler. People like family, friends, teachers, coaches, music directors, and many more. And some of those people will go with you into that next chapter, and some others might not. But in that next chapter, God says that he'll also provide us with new support. And that can come in the form of new roommates, new coworkers, new friends, new professors. God doesn't leave us to journey alone. He provides us with people to fill our souls and give us courage for the next chapter. So Moses was clearly not ready. And so the question becomes, what do we do with this good news that Moses received? What do we do knowing that God is with us, that he'll bless us to bless others, and that he'll provide us with support? What do we do with this good news? Well, the answer to that can be found in the person of Jesus in Matthew 26. In Matthew 26, Jesus says that at a moment of change in his life, he goes to the Garden of Gethsemane on the night that he was to be betrayed, where his life was going to change from doing ministry, doing miracles, teaching people, to now being on the road to the point of death on the cross. And at this moment of change, what Jesus did is he moved towards the things he knew were true, the good news that we just learned from Moses' story. Jesus moves into God's presence, knowing that God is with him. He goes and prays to God in the garden and pours out his feelings about this new chapter and the thing that is coming in his life. And then Jesus moves toward his friends, toward the disciples. They came to the garden with him, and Jesus goes to them. Actually, he's so bitter because they fell asleep on him. He needed them in that moment to be his support. And they were. They just fell asleep. But they were there, and Jesus knew that they were there, that God had provided them for him in that moment. And finally, Jesus is able to recall the many times God was with him so far. And through that, Jesus was able to walk with courage toward the cross. And he became the greatest blessing any of us have ever known, the one who died on a cross to save us from our sins. And so what do we do with the good news from the story of Moses? We follow the example of Jesus. We move toward God when we encounter change in our lives. We turn toward the people who have been placed there to support us. And we remember the countless ways that God has blessed us so far, how much he will bless us in the future, and use those blessings to bless others. And so we come back to our game of hide and seek. The seeker has just yelled out, "Ready or not, here I come." The hiders are asking themselves, "Am I ready or not?" The graduation date is set. Your next chapter is coming. And so whether you're ready or not, go with these truths: that God has been and will continue to be with you, that God has blessed you and will continue to bless you so that you can be a blessing to others, and that God has provided support for you and will continue to provide support for you as you go. So ready or not, here you come. Let's pray. Dear God, whether we are ready for what is next or not, you are present with us, and we thank you for being with us and walking with us into new chapters of our lives. We love you, Lord, and are continually blessed by your love. May we pass that love along to others in order to be a blessing to them. And thank you for the many friends, family, and other people in our lives who you have provided to support us. You are good, Lord, and we love you. In your name we pray, amen.
I'd like to invite all of the seniors to come up here and stand on the steps. This is a point in the service where we see your faces. You get to turn around and see the congregation who loves you and is cheering you on this evening. Tonight you'll receive a devotional book that is put together by the Fuller Youth Institute. The Fuller Youth Institute identified a number of questions that are important for people in your stage of life. They continue to be questions that are important into adulthood. You can make a couple rows, guys. Yeah, that's all good. We want to see you all.
It's like being in choir.
Yeah. Go forward a little. There we go. So the three questions that this book will ask you to think about are, who am I? Where do I belong? And what is my purpose? And each chapter there has scripture and action steps and journal prompts. And our hope is that this will be something that you can use, a tool for you to use by yourself in conversation with other people as you kind of step into this new time of your life. And then, you know, you might circle back to it 5 years from now and say, wow, I would answer this question differently today if I thought about it again. So we hope it will be something that travels with you. I'm going to read the names of all of our seniors. A lot of you are here. Some of you aren't. So you might hear a name of a person that's not here. But Rachel will pass you your book as I say your name. Our 2024 seniors graduating here from LaGrave are Charlie Affman, Fenon Ter Ajim, Jacqueline Albers, Colton Alkenbrack, Connor Brown, Leo Christner, Ian Day, Grace DeWall Malafite, Jacob Hollenbeck, back here, Aiden Hart, Catherine Hooksema, Avery Hollebeek, Lauren Kinsel, Bethany Clapp, Alex Pasteur, Ruth Peewee, Ashley Ponstein, Simon Spoolstra, Alexandra Vermeulen, Kennedy Verplow, Ella Walcott, and Grace Walcott. Congratulations, seniors. We're going to pray for you very briefly right here. God, we rejoice with our seniors and their families today. We pray that you will guide and guard and shepherd and keep these graduates as they enter a new season of life. Keep them walking with you, fill them with your grace, surround them with people who love them and love you. Amen.
Going to stand up and come in around them for our last song, My Friends, May You Grow in Grace. So I'll invite you to hold the hand of your neighbor, and our seniors will be in the center as this will be a form of blessing to them as we send them off into their next chapter. After that, there will be the benediction and all the other things we do at the end of a service, and the postlude will begin with pomp and circumstance, and so our seniors will file out first, followed by Reverend Mannion and I, and then the rest of you can file out and greet our seniors in the narthex. Once again, you're invited as well to join us for the meal in the NPR. So seniors, you can head on down the center and we'll come around you. You can just set your books by your feet when you get to your spot. So congregation, why don't you stand up as well and start to move in. I didn't know what to call you.
Thank you.
where you are, if you want to, we're going to pronounce a benediction, a blessing over the seniors. And if you would like to, you're welcome to reach out a hand just to share, show your agreement with this blessing. You just sang over them as well, and that blessing goes with them too. But seniors, I want you to feel this. I want you to see this. I want you to remember this as you go forward into this next step of your life. Graduates, may the Lord bless you and keep you. May he make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. May he lift up the light of his face upon you and give you his peace today and tomorrow and the day after that until the day Jesus comes again. Amen.